some of us very specifically from the events of this past week and the storm that hit Wednesday night in this area. Some of us, maybe even in the room, are experiencing it right now. Others, maybe it was from a previous storm. We would all know this to be true. The power goes out, and that changes a lot, doesn't it? Maybe even we could say it this way. The power goes out, it changes everything. The power goes out, and it sure messes up a lot. Basements flood because sump pumps are off. Food spoils because the fridge isn't working. Kids go crazy because the internet is down. From this past week, this idea of power has been on my mind, has been in my heart. The electrical kind, for sure, that is important. Especially important when you're without it, you realize just how important it is, how much you rely on it, how much you depend on it, how much nicer, better, how much more convenient life is when the power's on. From a spiritual perspective, never mind the electrical power that's important, how about the divine power that's essential? This morning, just for a few minutes, I want to share with you on the power of God. First, let me remind you, our God is an all-powerful God. You know that to be true. That's nothing new for you this morning. I just remind you of that, though, today. Listen, you're sitting in here this morning and you've come to this place no matter what the week held for you. Maybe there was that you heard that you didn't want to hear. Maybe there's that you had to deal with that you didn't want to deal with or you weren't prepared to deal with. Maybe there were problems. Maybe there were obstacles that came up. Maybe there were difficulty. Maybe things collided. You never saw it coming, but now you find yourself in the middle of a storm, in the middle of difficulty. Maybe life has just been beating you up a little bit of late. Listen, can I remind you this morning, you come into this place and we gather in this room, yes, surely we do, to fellowship with brothers and sisters and meet with one another. But listen, we gather ultimately to meet with the Lord of glory. And I'm just reminding you today, He is the all-powerful God. No matter your need, no matter the problem that's arisen, no matter the health situation that you're dealing with, no matter the job situation that awaits you tomorrow or even in the week to come, no matter the financial lack, I want you to be reminded today that here in this room, the Lord of glory is in this place, and He is the God who is all powerful. Aren't you glad to know that? Aren't you glad to be reminded of that? In Daniel chapter 2, and verse 19, then Daniel praised the God of heaven, saying, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for He alone has all wisdom and all power. World events are under His control. He removes kings and sets others on their thrones. He gives wise men their wisdom and scholars their intelligence. He reveals profound mysteries beyond man's understanding. He knows all hidden things, for He is light, and darkness is no obstacle to Him." He alone has all wisdom and all power. You know, this is true even as Christians. We can fall prey into the thinking that power is held by those who in fact don't hold power. That power is found in things that in fact don't have power. Can I just say it the way it is this morning? Our thinking is along the lines, we're inclined to think that the president, oh, he's the man with power. Especially in the context of our nation, even in fact, he's often referred to or called maybe the most powerful man in the world. Listen, don't believe it. It's not true. God has all power and all wisdom. Listen, the circumstances of life, they don't have the power. God has all the power, all the authority, all the wisdom. Listen to me. Your boss, he doesn't have the final say-so. He's not the one with all the power and the one with all the authority. That's God. God is the one that's all powerful. World events are in his control. He's light, and darkness is no obstacle to him. In Jude verses 24 and 25, now all glory to him who alone is God, who saves us through Jesus Christ our Lord. Yes, splendor and majesty, and here we go, all power and authority are his from the beginning. His they are, and his they evermore shall be. As we live in relationship with him, as we call out to him, you come to this place this morning, your heart hurting, your heart grieving. Life has been turned upside down on you. You never planned for this. You never expected this. The doctor's report has arrived and it's not good. The financial situation where you're at, you have way more going out than coming in. You're in trouble. Listen, as we live in relationship with him, and as we come to this place and we call out to him, how important for us to be reminded today. Oh, be encouraged, my brother. Be encouraged, my sister. Be strengthened in the Lord as you're reminded today. He and he alone has all power. There's nothing he can't do. There's nothing that's impossible for him. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power. He's all powerful, and his kingdom is one then of power. He's active. He's at work in power, with power. At work in his kingdom, in power. With power, at work through his kingdom, in power, at work in and through the citizens, the people of his kingdom, in and with power. Listen, this is true. If all we had was to be able to talk about how powerful God was, I'm not sure really that would be of much help to us. I'm not sure really the benefit to be found in that. We could talk, he alone has the wisdom. He alone has the power. We could talk, he's in charge. He has the authority. He's the light. No darkness can stand as an obstacle to him. No darkness can stand in his way. We could talk all of that. But if all we had was talk, it wouldn't be of much value to us. Listen to me this morning. His kingdom is not a matter of talk, but of power. That leads us to the second thing this morning. Be reminded of your God today. Be reminded of the power of God. And be reminded today that his power is made available to you and to me, to us, so that we might experience it. Oh, here's the good news, my brother. Here's the good news, my sister. We don't have to just talk this morning about how God has the power to make your circumstances right. We don't have to just talk this morning about how God has the power to heal and to provide. We don't have to just talk this morning about how God, he's big enough, strong enough, wise enough, powerful enough to give you the victory. Listen to me today. We can experience his power. I'm telling you this morning, the Lord of glory is in this room. He's Emmanuel, the God with us God. And he invites you today that not only would you know of his power, not only that you would be reminded he's all powerful, but that you would experience his power in your life. at your very point of need, whatever you've brought into this place, whatever you're coming from this last week, whatever awaits you in the week to come, that you can experience. Listen, he makes his power to be available for you today, for you to experience today. Think of that for a moment. Dream with me for a moment. Imagine with me for a moment what that looks like. What does the power of God look like manifested in your life? What change comes to your life? How are things different for you? How are things different in you as you experience more and more the power of God? How about the power of God ministering through your life? What's the result of that? What's happening because of that? For a moment, the power of God and how it would change you, but how about through you, the power of God and how it would change others? Important for us to live in this truth and in this reality. The power of God is available to us. The all-powerful God, he calls us his children. Do you understand that this morning? You're a child of God who is the all-powerful God. You're his child. He calls you his child. He calls you his son. He calls you his daughter. And he invites you to call him your father. We're in relationship with him. We have access to him. We have access to all that he is and all that he has. We have access to his power. Listen to me. As a believer in Jesus, you understand this morning, we are a people of his kingdom. And what's his kingdom? What's the nature of his kingdom? It's not talk, it's power. We're not a talk people. We're a power people because we're a part of his kingdom. We don't just talk a good talk. We live in divine power. We live in the power of a God who is all powerful. The power of God's made available to us. Made available to us by way of his word and by way of his spirit. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, we read this, "For we know, brothers loved by God, that he's chosen you, because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but with power, with the Holy Spirit, and with deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake. You became imitators of us and the Lord. In spite of severe suffering, you welcomed the message and the joy given by the Spirit. You became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it. For they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. They tell how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath." It's the power of God and his word that changes us. It's the power of God and his word. This is what we read in Thessalonians that makes us to become imitators of Jesus. This is what you need to become an imitator of Jesus. You don't need another self-help book. You don't need positive thinking or positive talk. I think I can. I think I can. I think I can. Listen to me. I would understand the importance of discipline, but you, in fact, don't even need more discipline. What you need is the power of God and the power of God at work in you. And you'll talk different from how you talk. You'll talk like Jesus. You'll act different than how you act. You'll act like Jesus. You'll be more and more like him as the power of God is demonstrated more and more in you. It's the power of God. It's the power of his word that makes us to turn from idols, turn from the things of this world. Don't you know, even amongst us as believers, there's an ever lingering battle that we fight against the attraction of this world. I believe it's the very deception of the devil himself. This world that would at times be so attractive to us, so appealing to us, so enjoyable for us. And yet us missing that in fact the Lord calls us to turn from the things of this world. This world's mindset should not be your mindset. What appeals to this world should not be what appeals to you. James is going to say it very dogmatically and very harshly. To be a friend with this world is to be an enemy with God. I don't know how else you interpret that, but then to take it as he says it. If I'm going to be friends with this world, if I'm going to be friends with how the world thinks, meaning I'm going to be influenced and I'm going to think how the world thinks, if I'm going to be influenced by how the world acts and act like the world acts, pursue the things that the world's pursuing, if I'm going to do that, I don't know how else you interpret it. But that in doing that, you become an enemy of God. It's the power of God that helps us to turn from this world like we should, to turn from idols, to turn from sin, so that we can serve him. It's the power of God by way of his word that enables us to live in victory, fulfill his plans and purposes for us. By his power, we serve him. By his power, then, his will is accomplished in and through us. By his power, then, his kingdom grows in us and through us. And by his power, then, he's glorified in us and through us. That's the power of God. That's the power of his word. It's his word that breathes life. It's his word that speaks to our struggle. It's his word that encourages us. It's his word that sustains us. It's his word that helps us. That's the power of God. That's the power of God by way of his spirit at work in us. By the power of his spirit, we can have joy in the midst of suffering. That was the testimony of the church in Thessalonica. Even in the midst of great suffering, you received the word with joy. Listen, by the power of God, no matter the suffering you find yourself in, no matter the suffering even all around you, listen, you can have a joy unspeakable and full of glory. How? Why? Because the power of God has been made available to you. By the power of His Spirit, we can overflow with hope. Listen, we're a people of hope. Listen to me, church. You have to hear me this morning. We're to be peddlers of hope, not discouragement, not despair. Oh, woe is me and woe is the world. That's not our calling. But pastor, don't you understand what I'm going through? Don't you see the world around you? I do. I understand it. I recognize it. But I know this, and am fully confident of this that we read in God's word, that by his power, by the power of his spirit, we can be filled and overflow with hope. By the power of his spirit, we can love the unlovable. We can be patient. Yes, we can. We can be kind. We can be gentle. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. By the power of His Spirit, we can be bold and effective witnesses to those that need to hear that Jesus saves. By the power of His Spirit, we can unashamedly declare He is the only way to the Father. It's not by good works. It's not what you've done. It's not measuring good against bad. It's only by Jesus. He's the way. He's the truth. He is the light and the life. And no one gets to the Father except by way of Him. We believe in Him. We confess Him, Lord and Savior. And we are saved when we do. We can boldly declare that message. We can unashamedly tell those that need to hear it. That's the power of God. The power made available to us by way of His Word. It's the power of God. And His power made available to us by His Spirit. How about this? There's power that we have in prayer. We believe that through prayer, in prayer, things can happen. Lives can be changed. Circumstances can be changed. The hand of God, who alone has all power and wisdom and authority, can be moved on our behalf. Listen to me. The power of the one and only all-powerful God can be requisitioned on your behalf as you go to prayer. Do you understand the importance of prayer? Listen, you can try to figure it out. You can talk to others about it. And I would understand sometimes we need a brother to encourage us. Hey, brother, I need some encouragement because I'm going through it. And truth be told, I'm maybe about to give up in the middle of it. I need some help. I need some encouragement. I need a thinking partner. I need someone to help me brainstorm through this trouble. I would even understand sometimes we might need a good therapist or a good counselor. I don't want to speak poorly against any of those things. But I would remind you today that in prayer, we have access. Listen, you talk to a brother and you have the brother's power. You talk to a therapist and you have the therapist's education and their power at your disposal. That's what you have. Whatever they learned in a book, whatever they know of the human brain and how it works. But listen, when you call out to God in prayer, you've tapped in to divine power, all power and all authority that now can be requisitioned on your behalf. Listen, it's why you need to be praying for Denny and Emma and Heather. It's why you need to be praying for your unsaved son and for your unsaved daughter. It's why we need to be continuing to pray for Marianne and for Bill and for Brother Dwight and for Sister Nancy and for all those that would be sick among us. It's why we need to continue to pray that these altars would be filled and then these pews to be filled and this church continue to minister to this community to see lost souls turn to Jesus. It's why we pray, why we pray, why we pray, why we pray, why we continually seek the Lord and His help and His power at work in us. We pray. We pray that the Spirit would be at work here. We pray that the Spirit would be at work in our lives. We pray that His Word would be radically at work changing us, perfecting us into the image of Jesus in faith and faithfulness, holiness and purity, righteousness and wisdom, victory, empowered to destroy the works of the devil, just like Jesus was. We believe that for our lives. By prayer, His Word, His Spirit, we can experience not just power, we can experience His power. And don't we believe that for others? We pray for them. We pray that the Spirit would be at work in them, that the Spirit would be at work on them. We pray that the Word would settle in their heart. Isn't that what you pray for your lost son or for your lost daughter? You pray. You pray that the Spirit would be at work. You pray that the Word would come to life inside of them, that they would see the truth of it. Where they've been deceived, they would see the truth that the Word of God reveals. And we pray that, we believe that, we ask God for that, we seek that, because we know in that the power of God would be manifested in our lives and in the life of the one that we're praying for. The power of God that would radically change forever. The power of God that would change a destiny. The power of God that would change a family. Whenever in a moment like this, I can't help but to be reminded of my own family and our own story, as it were. Dad and mom that weren't really serving Jesus, but family that was praying. Family that was believing that God, by way of His Spirit, would get a hold of my dad and my mom. Family that was praying, churches that were praying that the Word would come to life. And all of a sudden, my dad and mom end up, if I remember the story correctly, at a Jimmy Swaggart crusade somewhere near Detroit. And in that evening service, they go to that altar. Their lives are changed. They dedicate their lives to the Lord. They go way back in history and take hold of a calling that God had put on my dad for missions and for missionary work in Africa. They take hold of that and find that God hasn't forgotten that. And though they had run from Him, His calling upon them, His plan and purposes was still there for them to take hold of. And now not only is my dad and mom forever changed, but in fact our destiny, our family's destiny has been changed because of that, because of people that were praying, because of the power of God at work. In 2 Peter chapter 1, His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. Everything you need. His divine power is made available to you so that by way of His divine power, you have everything you need in this life and to live this life in the godliness that He calls you to. In John 14, in solemn truth, I tell you, anyone believing in Me shall do the same miracles I've done and even greater ones, because I'm going to be with the Father. You can ask him for anything using my name, and I will do it. For this will bring praise to the Father because of what I, the Son, will do for you. God, the God of all power, dwells with us more than just that. Better even than just that. He dwells in us. The very same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. We're citizens of the kingdom. The kingdom that's not talk, but rather is power. And because of that, divine power is made available to us. And we then have everything we need, even to do the great things like Jesus did, even, according to John's gospel, even greater. In 2 Timothy 1, I've reminded you of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded now lives in you. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, self-discipline. You can read in John's gospel the story, the feeding of the 5,000. Jesus comes to Philip and Andrew. As they approach him, there's a big crowd. They're hungry and need food. Jesus turns the conversation back to them. What are we going to do? Philip, Andrew, how are we going to take care of this? And their response, we don't know what to do. What we have, it's a drop in the bucket. What we have is certainly not enough. There's 5,000 men. There's maybe 10, 15,000 people on this hillside. We have 5 loaves and 2 fish. It's certainly not enough. Philip and Andrew miss that Jesus is there in their midst. The one who turns water into wine. The one who calms the sea, the wind and the waves. Peace, be still. And it is because he commands it. And he's the one with all power and all authority. Philip and Andrew forgot that the one who calls back to life the son, the daughter that's died. Philip and Andrew forgot that that same Jesus was right there. That's who they were talking to. They were talking to the one who had done all of that. Think for a moment that Philip and Andrew say, Lord, why don't you take care of this? You raise the dead. You walk on water. You calm the storm? Can't you do something about feeding 5,000 people? You would think it's what Philip and Andrew would say. But no, we can't. It's not going to happen. We don't have enough. Listen, we're as guilty in life circumstances as Philip and Andrew are. You would think in the midst of our financial trouble, I know what I'll do. I'll go to Jesus. He turns the water into wine. He raises the dead, brings them back to life. He walks on water. He feeds 5,000. I know what I'll do. When I need a little extra money to pay the bills, I'll go to Jesus. But we don't go to Jesus. Instead, just like Philip and Andrew, we wring our hands. We don't know what to do. We don't have enough. It's a drop in the bucket. We can't make it. It's not going to happen. When we are faced with our medical dilemma, whatever it happens to be, we don't run to Jesus. He's the healer, opens blind eyes, causes deaf ears to hear, makes the lame to walk. This is the Jesus that we serve, and he's with us and in our midst. But do we run to him? Do we turn to him? Hey, Jesus, I know what I'll do. Instead of the doctor in his report, I'm put my trust in you and ask you to work a miracle in this. No, instead we run around. There's nothing we can do. There's no way we can get help. The doctor has said this is the trouble. The doctor has said this is what we're going. We're as guilty as Philip and Andrew. Let me contrast their response with this. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. You know it. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Circumstances, life, problems, trouble, family, finances, health. You miss his power. You forget that his power is available to you, and you'll be talking like Philip and Andrew. Can't. It's not enough. We don't know what to do.
There's no way. With the little we have, we can never solve the problem that we have. But listen, you take hold. Oh, he is the all-powerful God. Forever has been, is, and forever will be. All power and all authority. And by his word, and by his spirit, and by the privilege of prayer, where I bow my head and close my eyes and say, Dear Jesus, and now all of a sudden, I am ushered from my problem, from my difficulty, into the presence of the one who has all power and who has all authority, who can speak the healing, who can speak the protection, who can speak the provision. You take hold of that, and you won't be talking like Philip and Andrew. Instead, yours will be the apostles' declaration, I can do all things through Jesus who gives me strength. That's the power of God made available to us. Listen to me, church. We're a mess, ineffective and miserable if we try to live our Christian lives with the power out. I was thinking of it this last week. We can't hardly get out of the house because the garage door is connected to what? To power. We can't turn on the TV. We can't charge our phones. Why? Because it's all connected to power. Ginny had family. Everything in the house that they needed water for, they had to go get from their pool, because for whatever reason, their water was affected by the lack of power. Trips to the pool every time they needed some water until the pool water ran out. Lights are out. Any room in the house that's not lit up by a window, it's dark. You can't see. When the power goes out, it's a mess. When the power goes out, it's bad. Food begins to spoil. Sump pump goes out, the basement begins to flood. The power goes out, you're in trouble. Church, listen. We're in trouble if we try to live our Christian lives with the power out. We don't do that, though. His is all the power and all authority and all the power that he has, he makes available to us. Leads to number three, we want to pursue his power. We want his power. We want to set our hearts on having his power at work in us. You know this. Maybe not to the crazy degree that our family does, but you know that sense. Let me give you two contrasting experiences. All of a sudden, sitting in your living room, watching TV, whatever you're doing, and the power goes out. You know that sense of dread. Oh no. What's happened? Immediately, how long? Is this just a flickering thing? How long are we going to be without power? Immediately, your mind is racing. What if it's out for a long time? What about this? What about that? Your mind is 1,000 different places as you're trying to figure out, are we going to be okay? What do I need to do to make sure we're okay? Because the power is just going out. Then you know that feeling when the power comes back on. The relief. Even the shout of cheer. A renewal on life that you kind of sort of feel in that moment because the power's back on. I'm thinking of it, though, related to my own life and especially in light of this last week. I know how it is to feel that way about the electric power stuff, but I wonder how much I feel that way about God's power. I wonder how much there's that sense of, oh no, the dread. Am I experiencing the power of God? Has the power gone out? I don't know if I know what it is to experience that longing, that cheer, that joy, because the power of God has been manifested and has come. Do I have the longing for his power? Am I pursuing his power? In 2 Timothy chapter 3, listen to this. Mark this, there'll be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful and unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And watch this, having a form of godliness, but denying its power, have nothing to do with them. I was thinking of in the context for the believer, maybe the real danger of last day living, thinking it's enough that we're different from the world. We shake our head at the world out there. We bang our head against the wall because of the world out there. We think it enough. Our lives not like that. We think it enough that we've set our lives in a pursuit of things that are contrary to what we would read in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Not proud, not boastful, not abusive, not unholy, not unforgiving, not without love. We set our hearts and our minds in pursuing those things because we think that's the measure for us. We just have to be different. But maybe for us, the real danger that we would do that and preach a gospel that proposes a form of godliness but denies its power, fails to pursue that power. Listen to me. I don't mean to sound rude or mean. You might not be proud, boastful, abusive, disobedient. I hope you're not. Well done, child of God, for not living that way. Listen to me. But if you've bought into a godliness that denies divine power at work in you, I really don't know how you're much different, according to Timothy, from the problem that is this world as we get closer and closer to the end. We ought not to be proud. We ought not to be boastful, abusive, disobedient, lovers of self. We ought not to be those things. And good that we would set our heart, I'm not going to be that. I'm not going to get sucked into the ways of this world. I'm not going to buy into the world's ways and the world's thinking. I don't care how prevalent it is. I'm not going to let myself fall prey to last day living kind of thinking, last day living kind of worldliness. I'm going to live holy and pure and righteous before the Lord. I'm going to continue to serve Him faithfully and obediently and in righteousness and holiness and purity and all of that. It's true and it's good that we would. But church, listen, we can't deny the power of God that's been made available to us. And so then there ought to be a sense where we're pursuing, we're chasing after His power. There's a dread. Oh no, the power's gone out. Oh no, we don't want to come to church where the power's gone out. We don't want to hang out with Christians where the power's gone out. We don't want to be where there's no power. And instead, we're chasing after the power of God. We're coming to the altar. We're crying out in prayer. Oh God, more and more and more of Your power in my life, in my family, in my church, because we know we need that. We're pursuing that because we do. In 2 Corinthians 6, we don't want anyone to find fault with our work. We try hard not to cause problems. And everything and every way we show that we're God's servants. We've always been patient. We've had a lot of trouble, suffering, and hard times. We've always been patient. We've been beaten, put in jail, hurt in riots. We've worked hard, gone without sleep or food, but we've kept ourselves pure. We've been understanding, patient, and kind. The Holy Spirit has been with us, and our love has been real. We've spoken the truth. Watch this. And God's power is working within us. It's one of the marks of a true servant of God. It all began with, in everything, in every way, we show that we truly are God's servants. And Paul has a long list. But ultimately, he brings it all around to this. We're living in the power of God. We're pursuing the power of God. We're chasing after His power. And His power is at work in our lives. Finally, we want His power, so we go after it. And then we protect His power. God's the source of that power. Anything that compromises relationship with Him compromises that power. Don't let anything compromise your relationship with God. Be careful. Be careful your relationship with God. Sin will compromise the power of God at work in you. Be careful of letting the sin in. Disobedience. Compromise. Be careful the small, even barely noticeable, wonder if they really matter kind of compromises. Watch out for the little foxes. Samson, little by little, walked himself into a prison cell. Little by little, compromise after compromise, until taken captive by the Philistines. Little bit by little bit, until he wakes up one day only to realize the Spirit of the Lord is no longer with him and no longer on him. Be careful of the complacency. Be careful of apathy. A couple of weeks ago, Jim reminded us of things that we can't neglect. Things like the Word, things like prayer, things like this gathering. We can't neglect. We have to be diligent. We have to be careful. Satan wants to compromise the power of God at work in you. You know this to be true. Satan has been defeated by the power of God. In the simple name of Jesus. Do you remember? We used to sing it. In the name of Jesus, Satan will have to flee. In the name of Jesus. Oh, we really do have the victory. The simple, albeit all-powerful name of Jesus. You know that. So certainly you must know this. The devil wants that power compromised in you. Because otherwise, listen to me, child of God, you'll do to the devil just like Jesus did. You'll do to him just like the New Testament church did. In Acts 19, you read of seven sons. They tried fighting the devil without power, and they were completely overpowered and thoroughly beaten. Don't misunderstand that. That story has nothing to do with the power of devil. Listen, if you're talking devil power, you're talking the wrong thing. Forget the devil's power. He's been disarmed and defeated at Calvary's cross. What you need to be talking is Calvary's power. What you need to be talking is Jesus' power. What you need to be talking is the all-powerful power of God that is available to you and at work in you. This is where you need to live. This is what you need. You'd understand, though, from the story, the devil doesn't want you beating him. He wants to beat you. He wants to beat your family. Listen, it's true. Devil wants to beat up your kids. Come on, how about it, Mom? That ought to rile you up. You don't let no kid beat up on your kid. Why are you going to let the devil beat up on your kid? You're not. You don't. Listen, you try to fight the devil on your own. He'll not only beat your kid, he'll beat you. Just like he did in Acts 19. Do you understand? But he can't touch you as you live, as you speak, as you move, and as you work in the power of God. Do you understand? No wonder he wants God's power compromised in you. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. Devil wants God's power compromised. How about this last week? The storm will compromise God's power. The storm has the potential to compromise God's power. Do you remember the story of Peter? Out with the rest of the disciples, out on the water, Jesus comes walking towards them. And Jesus calls Peter, invites Peter out. Peter, Lord, if it's you, let me come. And Jesus says, come on. And you remember the story, Peter does it, the power of God. Can I just tell you this morning? Listen, I believe it's absolutely true. This is the power of God. This is the power of God made available to you. If he calls you out on the water, you will walk on water. This is the power of God. Peter did that. In the middle of the storm, he walked on water. He got out of the boat, and he didn't walk in shallow water. He walked on top of the water. Until what? Until he turned his eyes from Jesus and onto the what? Onto the storm. Onto the wind. Onto the waves. Some of you this morning, you might be in the middle of a storm. Listen to me. You have to hear me today. The storm doesn't have to sink you. It doesn't. I don't even understand it. I don't even know how to tell you exactly how it happens. But I'm just going to tell you, in accordance to God's word, you can walk on water in the midst of the storm, in the midst of the wind, and in the midst of the waves, if you'll keep your eyes on Jesus The storm wants your eyes on the storm, because then the storm can sink you. But this is the power of God. We don't let that happen. We protect the power of God. We keep our eyes on Jesus. Be careful of excuses. Excuses will compromise the power of God. Be careful of fear. Be careful of the fear that begins with, I've never done that. I'm not sure if I can do that. I don't know if I know how to do that. That'll compromise the power of God. You'll miss the opportunity for the power of God to be displayed in your life. Be encouraged this morning. God's the all-powerful God, and He makes His power available to us. So we pursue that power, and we protect that power. We don't miss living in that power. We don't let that power to be compromised. We don't let His power to go out. On Saturday, oddly enough, our power came back on Friday about 5 o'clock, 5:30. Saturday, probably 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, I get a text message, an update from consumers. Good news. Your power has been restored. Church, I would love for you to leave this morning. Oh, good news. My power's been restored. The power of God at work in me. The power of God demonstrated and manifested in me and in my life. My prayer for you, Ephesians chapter 1. I pray that the eyes of your heart would be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which He has called you, the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints. And listen, my prayer for you, and that you would know His incomparably great power for you who believe in Him. My prayer for you, Ephesians 3, I pray that out of His glorious riches, He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit. My prayer for you, Colossians 1, since the day we heard about you, we've not stopped praying for you, asking God to fill you with knowledge of His will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and joyfully giving thanks to the Father who's qualified you to share and the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. And because I pray it in absolute accordance to His will, because it's His word, I encourage you, I admonish you today, Ephesians 6. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Father, I thank you today for your word that would be the reminder for us of your power. You are the all, God, would you remind my brother, my sister today, you're the all-powerful God. For my brother, for my sister struggling today, would you let them to know they can't, I can't, maybe even we can't, all of us together can't, nobody can. But God, would you remind them, you can, you can. Because you have all power and you have all authority. You can heal them. You can provide. You can deliver. You can set free. You can make right. Lord, would you remind my brother and sister of that? And Lord, I pray, would you do it in our midst? Lord, would you restore power in this place? Would you restore power here today? We're reminded of your power. Let us to know it's available to us. Let us not leave this place, but that we leave in your power. Let us not go out tomorrow, but that we go out tomorrow in the power of the living God. Wherever we go, to the grocery store, to the work, with family, with friends, wherever we go in the power of God. May we pursue that. May we protect it dearly, Lord, I pray. Heads bowed and eyes closed in this room. Would you just take a moment? Would you just begin to ask God to restore power? Come on, where you're missing power, you know, where you need it the most, God, restore power. Restore power.
Just for a moment, I'm wondering if there's some brothers and sisters in this place that would intercede on behalf of this church. God, restore power to new life. Restore power. Let there be the power of God manifested in this place. Let there be the power of God at work in this sanctuary. Let there be the power of God on display for everyone that comes and gets groceries tomorrow. Every ministry that's ever done from this church, let the power of God be manifested for all to see. Come on, I'm wondering if there's some dads, some moms, some grandpas, some grandmas that would begin to pray, God, let the power of God be manifested in my family. Come on, let the power of God change the destiny of my family. Let the power of God do it. Let the power of God raise up out of my broken, messed up, sin-stricken family some missionaries, some pastors, some evangelists. God, do it. God, do it. No matter how far lost, no matter how far gone in the sin, in the addiction, in the bondage, God, you can do it. You can restore. You can save. You can deliver. You can make right. So do it, Lord, we pray. Let the power of God be at work in my family. Come on, this is how we pursue it. This is how we pursue His power this morning. We just take a moment. We just take a moment. God, let your power, let it be at work in me. Let it be met. Come on, some of you, there's a need that you have. I'm telling you, I don't make light of it. I don't mean to belittle it or make small. Listen, what you need is the power of God. What you need is the power of God. So begin to pray. It's okay. Begin to pray over that need. Begin to pray over your sickness. Begin to pray over that pain. Begin to pray over whatever in your body that's not working right, that's not doing right. Some of you, maybe it's a financial. Begin to pray the power of God to be manifested in your life, that the provision would come, a testimony of God's power. It doesn't matter what the banker said. It doesn't matter what the bill said. The bill doesn't have the authority. The credit card doesn't have the authority. Consumers doesn't have the authority. God has all authority. Begin to pray, whatever you need. Don't be afraid to do that. We do that this morning. God, the power of God. We pursue it this morning in prayer. We need it this morning. Our family does. How about it? Come on, church, how about for a brother or sister? Come on, pick somebody in this room and begin to pray for them. Begin to pray. God, I pray the power of God to be manifested in Pam's life in Jesus' name. God, I pray the power, I pray for Dan and Tina. Oh, let the power of God, let for every need, for their family, for every situation, for work, in their health, let the power of God be manifested in their life. Come on, pray for a brother. Pick a brother out, pick a sister out. Begin to pray. The power, oh God, let your power be manifested in their life. Let the power of God bring healing. I pray for my brother Dwight and sister Nancy. Let the power of God be demonstrated in divine healing that would be manifested in their body. I pray encouragement, the power of God that would make my brother and my sister to overflow with hope. Have joy in the midst. Come on. If you're struggling and or suffering, I want you to lift your hand right now. Lord, you see the hands in this place. I pray the power of the Spirit, that there's joy that comes to my brother, my sister, whose hand is lifted. In the midst of the struggle, in the midst of the suffering, we read it from your word. The power of the Spirit gives us joy and hope in the midst even of the struggle. Let them have joy. Let them have hope. Oh, let the power of God, let the power be restored. Let the power be restored. Oh, it'll be great news. It'll be great news. When the power comes back on, when the power is restored, and we experience afresh and anew, even like we never have before, the power of God in our midst. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. We pray these things, we ask these things, Lord, this morning. And that name that is above every other name, the wonderful, awesome, life-saving and life-changing, all-powerful name of Jesus. Amen and amen. I pray that you know his power today. Would you stand so that as we leave this morning, before we leave, I can pray his blessing over you as well. Would you extend your hands to receive the blessing of the Lord today? I pray it. I declare it over your life. Not just his power, but his blessing as well. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be good and gracious to you. And the Lord turn to you today. And for every day of this coming week, the Lord turn to you and give to you his peace. In Jesus' name, amen.